Trending Mobile Technology, episode 101, hosted right here on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. This is the Trending Topics Network's very own Trending Mobile Technology with your mobile host, Piper the DJ, right here with another round. This is episode 101. Before we get too carried away, really quick, lots of you getting in contact with me over a lot of different things that I've been going over recently, and I appreciate it. Keep it up. Keep the feedback coming, contact information, things of that nature. Piper the DJ, that's all you have to remember, okay? You can find me on Gmail, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Hangouts. That's the best way to get in contact with me, and I do have a lot of people that have responded to the a couple stories that I put out last week. We're going to start off this week a little bit backwards. I'm going to start out with feedback this year because I'm taking a lot of fire. A couple guys reached out to me from school that, hey, you're going to go in, you're going to talk about hands-free texting, but you're not going to give us apps that are out there to be able to do this. And I'm going to get into some of that today. In the meantime, Mr. Old School, he always keeps me honest about a lot of different things and reaches out to me on Twitter quite often. He says, quote, absolutely. I have an auto response on my device that sends out an automated message when I'm driving. It's not worth risking your own life or someone else's. Texts can wait. And then he kind of threw me under the bus. He's like, don't text in podcast, man. I heard your phone go off at 8 minutes, 30 seconds. Guilty. Yes. Usually I go in and I edit those in post. I have that ability, and I must have missed one yet. Mr. Old School did confess, though, that Cortana hasn't quite made it to Canada yet. He's guessing because they are bilingual up there, English and French. But just various things, you know, downfalls of the Microsoft community, I guess. However, Microsoft did make the news again this week, and I'll be getting into that very shortly. But first and foremost, I want to go ahead and get into a follow-up story from last week. I did a public service announcement about not texting and driving, and quite a few people in the college scene reaching out to me, giving me some grief because I went into this PSA concerning the anti-texting and driving campaign. And a few people reached out and said, okay, so you're telling us now, you know, what's out there that works and what doesn't work. Depending on your respective operating system, there is a native solution. According to Mr. Old School, Windows has one built into it. The Android operating system, Google Now, works very well as with the iOS. Siri also works. But Siri works with limited success, so that you understand. I haven't had too awful much success with Siri in the hands-free texting realm, although I do have a couple people who utilize the iOS, and they have great success with it. Matter of fact, I know an individual who that's all he uses is voice texting through Siri. And it works for him very well if you take into consideration autocorrect and things of that nature. Google Now also works to limited success. I recently had a Google Now update, and now all of a sudden it seems like, I'm sorry, I don't know how to help you with that. So hopefully Google is in the process of getting that fixed. It suddenly made my smartphone equipped with Google Now very stupid, and it's a little bit frustrating, but, you know, with updates, everything always changes. One application that I do advocate for in the Android space is called Agent Do Not Disturb. And there's five different widgets that are built into this app. There's a calendar app, a parking app, battery management, texting, and then sleep. So you can set, you know, your sleep timer, like from 11 at night to 6 in the morning or whatever your normal sleep time is, to where it shuts off your ringer automatically so you don't have to remind yourself to do it before you go to bed. Maybe you have a late night or something like that. You might forget. Nobody wants that 3 a.m. text unless you're unless you've got somebody that's in trouble. I do have my sleep timer set to where the wife or family member can get in contact with me because I know at 3 o'clock in the morning I don't want to go missing that phone call or that text message. And that will automatically come straight through and override my agent, Do Not Disturb. and wake me up very, very rudely, which is definitely what I need. The parking widget, Google Now does that very well for me, but however you can set this, that when it detects the speed of your device getting under a certain threshold, it'll automatically mark where you're at. Sometimes people use Bluetooth head units in their cars. When you disconnect the phone from that unit, it'll also geo-track where your car is at the same time. Obviously, there's battery management included. If your phone gets under a certain battery strength, it can disable Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and various other things that might drain battery resources. But the speech-to-text is what I want to talk to you about. It is designed where you can either use the motion portion of the app, where it actually taps into your proximity sensors and motion sensors that are built into the device, and when it detects you moving at a higher rate of speed, or when a particular Bluetooth is enabled, it automatically kicks in to transcribe your messages, both text message and SMS. It works very well, works above standard, actually, and I'm actually quite impressed with it. You can actually have a complete conversation. It'll say message from, and it'll tell you who it's from, and then give you the message and say answer or no. And you can say, you can reply to it with your own voice, or you can say cancel, which totally disables the process. Also, Tasker, if you are an Android user and you like programming and things of that nature, Tasker is also an avenue. And I've been having problems with Tasker recently, but I'm in the process of getting that resolved. Tasker is the one app that you have to buy that can fully automate just about anything in your Google Now or in your Android device. So if you're in troubleshooting and fine-tuning and tweaking and things of that nature, Tasker is also something that you can use. As I said, in the Apple space, Siri does work with a measure of success. I don't have an iPhone. I do have an iPad. So some of the texting apps aren't all available to me. But I do know people who have used Siri to a certain extent. Reach out to Obi-Wan Jabroni, and he says that he's used Siri to limited success as well. And as I said, in the Windows space, Mr. Old School swears by the native-born Windows 8. Now, he's not currently running Windows 10 on his device, but I'm sure that'll be coming, and as well as Cortana, because it's going to be something, and it's according to Microsoft, it's going to be the next biggest thing that comes out, and I'm actually interested to see exactly what Windows 10 is going to bring to the table. Their presentation looked very impressive. A lot of people out there talking about the advantages to Windows 10 since their press release, and actually the developer edition is currently on the market, looking like that's going to be very impressive. And I am still interested to see the first flagship device that's going to be released that's equipped with Windows 10 to see exactly how it interacts not only within the mobile space but also on the desktop space as well. Now, Samsung, despite their problems, despite the fact that they lost quarter one to Apple, I mean, we knew that was going to happen, fatal flaws with the Galaxy S6. Number one topping the list is pricing. Number two, Samsung's inability to maintain with updates. I've been presenting to you for the past few weeks, now actually for a very long time. A lot of people are bringing Google under fire because Google isn't pushing out the updates fast enough. Google's pushing out the updates just fine. It's getting bogged down at the phone manufacturers. In this case, Samsung. They're starting to fall under fire because they're not getting their updates out sometimes 2 and 3 years. And even then, it's still backward. The Galaxy S6 is going to be releasing with Android 5.01. And what are we up to now? We're up to 5.1. That's actually on an announced structured rollout now. And it is actually starting to make its way to the States. The download sideloadable package has been available for a couple weeks. I am not running 5.1 yet. I'm doing everything that I can to keep my Nexus device, my phone, stock and doing everything that I can in that manner. A lot of people, again, putting Samsung under fire because they've overpriced the Galaxy S6. Many technologists and reviewers, especially from the folks at Forbes, are citing, wait 6 months, okay? They're saying, wait 6 months. If you look back over the week across the Android world, the Android circuit headlines, a number of stories, including head-to-head comparison between the Galaxy S6 and the iPhone 6. I'm not going to get into that because it's Android versus iOS. I could waste my entire life doing stuff like that. But here's the thing that comes down. A lot of people are saying the Samsung Galaxy S6, despite their fondness for Samsung, is overpriced. Wait 6 months, let that price come down a little bit, give it a bit of a price break, because Samsung's going to have these devices and they're going to want to get them unloaded. Now, coming up on the heels of their Galaxy S6, a lot of people noticing that the next Note, the Note 5, has not been announced, nor has it even been spoken of. It's been rumored on some of the boards, but it hasn't been announced. And true to form, people are already talking about the Galaxy S7, which is supposed to come out next year, or maybe even late this year. We're not quite sure. But talking about how the Exynos processor is going to get a complete overhaul, as Samsung has pretty much left Qualcomm on their own with processor issues, Samsung is undertaking the Exynos project again, and they're moving forward with it, putting it in their old devices, making it more efficient. And I'm interested to see if a Galaxy device is going to be coming out with Tizen here in the very near future. I have lost my flavor for Samsung ever since I had too many issues with my Note 2. I was getting tired of waiting for updates. I was getting tired of ROMing. I was getting tired of some of the customizability and the TouchWiz underlay and various things of that nature. And so therefore, TouchWiz isn't really, you know, Samsung in itself isn't really my forte. I get in conversations with people all over the place. I mean, I interact with, I don't know how many people on campus on a regular basis who all swear by Samsung. And they don't. They know because it's what they've always had. It's what they've always purchased. It's what people have always bought for them, whether it be mom, dad, spouse, etc. But the thing is, when you start getting into these programming flaws, when's the last time you got a system update? What do you think about TouchWiz? What? You know, they don't really know. So if you don't know the full functionality of your device and you're happy with what it is, that's totally fine. Being an individual who's in the know, myself personally, I look at something like this and I say, I'm sorry, system updates are a requirement on any flagship device. Any company that's going to host a flagship needs to be able to stay current with the operating system. Apple does very good with it. Google also does very good with it. Microsoft, yes, they do very good with it. When there's a rollout that needs to go out, they set up for structured rollout, boom, it's done. Okay? Samsung is one of the few manufacturers under the Android umbrella that has the hardest time. If you look at their report card, update speed from Samsung is currently an F. Okay? Way below 50% of their devices are even anywhere near to Android 5.0. And we're talking stock. Okay? There is a huge section of individuals that are out there who root and ROM their Samsung devices just so they can get the current, whether it be a CyanogenMod mod or a custom ROM on their device. And this is the one thing that holds Samsung in a very low regard. In the big comparison between the Galaxy S6 and the iPhone 6, Apple versus Samsung, it's continuing to be an ongoing fight between these two entities, ranked number one, ranked number two, respectively. And the thing about it is they look very similar. Is this going to provoke another lawsuit in the courts between Apple and Samsung? I don't know, but a lot of people are putting down their Samsung devices and buying iPhones for the simple fact that I'm pretty sure I said this last week. For the simple fact, this looks just like an iPhone. That's what they're saying. It looks like an iPhone, so that's what they go to, and that is what they move with. So, you know, we'll see with interest what Samsung's going to be able to do in the near future. They've started their downswing because they do not have the ability to keep up with what the current trend is. I mean, they can't keep up with updates. They have too many things going on and various things of that nature. And it's just, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things that Samsung could do, okay? They could kick off Tizen and run with it and do some great things. But it all boils down to the sauce. A lot of people having issues with the sauce coming in from Samsung, that it's inefficient, that it's not functional, that it doesn't update, things of that nature. And this ultimately falls back to the OEM. In this case, it falls back to Samsung, the manufacturer. What are they going to do from here going forward? I don't quite know. But I hope to be able to see, you know, I'm happy that Apple is back up at number one. It's about time Samsung, you know, got a little wind taken out of their sails. Having 40 devices released in a fiscal year, I think, is a little excessive, because how on the face of the earth can you expect to keep up the speed with operating system updates with that many frameworks and that many devices that are out there? I think they need to narrow their smartphone skill. Okay, take down, maybe keep their Galaxy, keep their Note line, and keep maybe one or two other devices that they focus on. That way they can get that report card from an F and pop it up to maybe a C. Get those updates out to people. That way, A, they can make sure the security patches are in, and B, we can keep people up to the current operating system. Those that don't care obviously aren't going to care. But at the same time, there's a lot of people out there that do care, and Samsung's falling under fire for this, and it rightly so. I mean, if you're not going to deliver an update, what's the point of having it? Microsoft taking quite a bit of notice this week, where even unofficial installs of Windows 7 and 8 will be updated to Windows 10. And understand, Windows 10... it's not just desktop, and it's not Windows Mobile 10 anymore. It's just Windows 10. It's supposed to be that seamless, streamlined ubiquity. And this is something Mr. Old School has advocated for a very long time, seeing the way it works together. I am a new fan of Microsoft OneDrive. I use it for school on a regular basis. The license is available to me as a student. There are a lot of learning institutions, higher education institutions, who are adopting the OneDrive as a university policy and a university license. And Microsoft is definitely, it's interesting. If you look at the trend over the past 30 years, Apple used to be the only systems you found in schools. Now, as Apple has gotten older, more mature, and out there in the market more, you see them going around in a lot of consumer spaces and even business spaces. And now Microsoft is starting to show up, giving that that usability back to the student in a Microsoft form. In this case, cloud services, OneDrive. I mean, I've got a 15 gig storage space on my cloud service. And am I ever going to use all of that? Probably not. Not in a single semester, at least. But there's a lot of information and a lot of space that I can use. And everybody on campus is there, so if I need to share a drive or share a document, all I need to do is type in their email address. Boom. They get the link. They get access. They can comment. They can edit. Whatever they need to do. And then the changes are tracked on my desktop right here. This is life in the browser. This is where I was talking about last week about Chromebooks. This is where Chromebooks excel. Now, granted, Chromebooks are Google-based, but there are plenty of Chromebooks that are out there, browser-based. There was actually a rumor that I read not too long ago about how Microsoft is going to release a Spartan-based book where it's just life in a browser. It'll have like a 20-gig hard drive, but its primary function is going to be to utilize the Spartan interface, which is their new browser, which is supposed to replace Internet Explorer, to utilize the Spartan environment as an entire browser resource. Whether or not this is fact or fiction, folks, I don't know, but I am going to be following this story with interest. It was something that popped up in the Wall Street Journal earlier this week, and my eyes went up. I was like, wow. Microsoft adopting a Spartan book, and words floating around that the name Spartan might be changing once it actually gets released. But as time does move on, this is definitely something that I'm going to keep an eye on. I mean, also bear in mind, folks, they still have their Surface project. And Surface, whether it be not as fast as they want it to, it is advancing. People are using the Surface more and more. People in the business environment, what do you see them carrying around? They're carrying around Surface tablets. They might not all have the keyboard, but they at least have something that utilizes the Microsoft Cloud space efficiently. And this is something, you know, getting into the mobile space, this is where Steve Ballmer dropped the ball, seriously. He kind of half-assed the mobile industry when they did 5 and 6 and even 7. And now they've got to pull themselves up by their bootstraps, and they've got to improve. They've got to step their game up. They've got to be better. They've got to get up there. They're not going to move the bar because they have a long way to go to get in the field with the likes of Android and iOS. But the exciting thing to see with this is they are improving and they are on the right track. And the first thing that they did is they improved their OneDrive service and made their cloud service available and made it to where it worked consistently. And that is something that is exciting, something I'm going to continue to watch with interest. The biggest thing that's going to interest me concerning the Spartan book that was announced is if it's going to be cost efficient. Because for the average student, they might not be able to drop $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 on a MacBook, $300, $400, $500 on a Chromebook, $500, $600, $700 on an actual laptop, but they might be able to drop $200 or $250 on a Spartan book. Okay, Amazon responded with a new line, or not a new line, but an update to their Fire OS. Whether or not this is actually a viable competitor to Microsoft, I don't think so, because it is still skinned Android, and it's still back in the days of 4. So we've got a long way to look for Amazon to step their game up. But Microsoft is moving. Microsoft is improving. And all the years that I advocated against Microsoft, and I've told people plenty of times, I will gladly take it back. And it is now time for me to sit here and tell you, I take it back for the simple fact that they are changing, they are improving, they are stepping their game up, they're becoming who everybody wants them to be. A little bit late, but they're getting there. It's a process, and I'm excited to see what Microsoft has in store for the 2015-2016 years. This first device that Microsoft is in talks of designing is going to be an interesting device. And speaking of devices, I mean, Microsoft and Xiaomi, one article put out by Greenbot, they're not partners, but they are strategic acquaintances. For those who aren't in the know, the Xiaomi Mi 4 is going to have a dual boot option to where you can either boot into Windows 10 or you can boot into the Android operating system. And this is something that can go to Hugo Barra. Okay, Hugo Barra, formerly with Google, he's now with the folks at Xiaomi working in their PR department, and he sees the potential here. The headline of the story is they're learning from the best. Microsoft isn't doing business with Xiaomi as much as picking up a few pointers from the Xiaomi enthusiast fans. It makes sense, too. I mean, if you think about it, there's a 3% market share in there already for Microsoft. And all they want to do, if they can get into China, that 3% is going to change in a big way. We might not ever see the Xiaomi devices here in the United States, but if Microsoft can get overseas with this, that is going, I mean, it's going to totally change it. Okay, it's not like you're just giving anybody the ability to switch between Windows 10 and the MIUI, but it is giving them the choice. For example, if you're at work and the place where you work is a Microsoft-based entity, still server systems are having trouble with the accepting Android on their servers. Okay, but with this dual boot, Windows 10 can go into any device or any business and utilize that system. And if for nothing else, that is exciting. The advancements that were announced at the Windows 10 event were, it made my eyebrows go up. Okay? I looked at this and I was like, by golly, I think that they're finally getting it on track. And you know, can Xiaomi and Microsoft work together with this? Can they make it happen? I honestly believe that they can. I mean, the first Xiaomi smartphone, it sold out in minutes in China. Okay, as the third world's largest smartphone device, it decided, okay, so, you know, let's start talking about this with Microsoft and see what we can do. And that is a huge announcement right now in the Microsoft and Android space. A merger between the two. What's going to happen from here forward? Microsoft is working hard to get this done. And Xiaomi looks like they're working in coordination with Microsoft to do this. And under the AOSP, they can, because they can skin their Mi devices to do this, to be able, you know, to set up a dual boot platform. All they have to do is change their Mi platform and boom, 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 they're done. And it'll move on and it'll continue to get better. Is this the move that Microsoft needs? It might be. Because if you get Xiaomi on board with this and say an entity like Samsung looks and says, hey, they're being successful. And so Samsung grabs their hat, goes up to Microsoft, hat in hand, and says, we would like some too, please, sir. Samsung's already in the United States. How many businesses are still on Microsoft frameworks here? I mean, I'm sure old school, he would go crazy about this, saying, they're all over the place up here. I know that as far as security and in many financial institutions, they're still Windows-based, okay? They're Windows-based here at the university. We do have multiple Mac labs, but we are primarily operated off of a Windows server, okay? We are primarily Windows-based. And seeing Microsoft get in this way, into this mobile space, to expand themselves is, it's stunning, it's shocking, and it's cool to look at because they are making it for themselves. They are improving, they are stepping their game up, and they are proving that, hey, they might have made a couple mistakes, but they're willing to learn from those mistakes and step up their game and become who everybody wants them to be again. Another story I'm going to get into today, the folks at CyanogenMod, it's the startup that wants to steal Android from Google. Now, I've been a Cyanogen user or fan for many years, and when I read this story, I was concerned because I started reading things like, we want to, quote, put a bullet in Google's head, unquote. For those who don't know, Cyanogen is a third-party company who is an Android operator, and for years they have been the bare-bones, most pure Google experience that you can find on the market. They actually had a negotiation with Google to where, hey, we want to be able to use your apps. Like Gmail and Play Store and the framework and things of that nature. And Google said yes, but under these certain conditions. Those who flash Cyanogen know that you have to flash the operating system, then you have to flash the Google Apps Pack. It's two separate flashes. It works. It's functional, but that's the terms of service that Cyanogen has with Google. Now, a story coming out from Forbes, the folks at CyanogenMod came in and said, look, we are approaching app and chip vendors, and they're worried about Google controlling the entire experience. So what they're going to do is Cyanogen's going to go in. They're taking a chance to snag as many as a billion headsets more than iPhone up to date. Okay, some analysis say 50 million people are currently running Cyanogen on their devices, whether it be through straight-out purchase or rooting and rebooting, etc. So this could be a big move. I mean, Cyanogen running out on their own, incorporating incorporating functionality that includes iOS and Google, giving you that choice, as well as Dropbox for cloud storage, seamless Spotify, Facebook that runs efficiently, Twitter that runs efficiently, WhatsApp, Snapchat, many different messaging platforms, as well, here we go again, as well as incorporating Microsoft services. One operating system to rule them all, folks. This, when I first read it, my eyebrows went up because it didn't make sense to me. I had to read it again, okay? When you start reading things like, quote, people say Microsoft and CyanogenMD are close to finalizing a wide-range partnership to incorporate several of Microsoft mobile services, including Bing and Cortana and OneDrive and Skype and Outlook, unquote. This is all for CyanogenMD. And when you incorporate as well Siri, Google Now, Dropbox, Spotify, Facebook, Twitter, WhatsApp, Snapchat, and pretty much any other type of social media application, if it can function efficiently and properly, this could be a game changer. The one device to rule them all. Now, of course, there are many powerful players that have tried to establish a third-party operating system over the past many years. Okay, they've tried to play the middle over everybody and co-op to get one operating system to rule them all, and every time they've failed. However, CyanogenMD, I believe, is in a place and in a position where if anybody can do it, they probably could. Okay, they would use Skype as their dialer. They would use Spotify as their music streaming app. They would use Google Wallet for payments, also incorporating PayPal, okay, or Tap to Pay from the iOS. It will be the ultimate in a customized device. If you want to sit down and say, quote, I want to be able to talk to the phone and say, play the song, and then the song will play off of Spotify, end quote. That coming off of Mr. McAllister, one of the developers and designers, one of the big wigs over there at CyanogenMD. And if anybody's in a place to do it, I mean, CyanogenMD, they've got the longevity, okay? CyanogenMD's been around back before 2009, way before. I mean, they were around, they were one of the first iterators and first movers of Android before Android was even called Android, back in the days of, well, what some people refer to as Donut, or the first two builds, whether it be build one or build two. I mean, there was build 1A and then build one and then build two and 2A and 3 and 3A. You know, before there was even a naming scheme, CyanogenMD jumped on this and they ran with it. And then they incorporated, became a viable business. And now they're getting ready to step out on their own. They're looking at a $10 million in revenue if they can get this to go. Okay, so this is definitely something that looks interesting. Again, you know, one operating system to rule them all. I don't know if it's a reality yet. I don't know if it is something, how far it can go. But it's definitely something that it's got a lot of people scratching their head. I mean, this could be something that could catapult CyanogenMD from a number three, number four vendor all the way up into number one, number two quickly and overnight, especially if it catches on and it moves as quick as it can. The Nexus 6, as many of you know, I am quite the Nexus 6 fan, and I'm constantly presented with articles and apps and things of that nature concerning the usability and functionality of the Nexus 6. And there are actually hidden features on the Nexus 6, one of which being it is water resistant. It's never advertised, but it is water resistant. And now you can't go dropping it in 3 feet of water. But if you're stuck in the rain, you're not going to have that water damage than you would. And, you know, if you're sitting there next to the sink and it water drops on it, stuff like that. Now, I take the paranoid-induced route, and I put mine in a case all the time. So, therefore, you know, my case offers a form of water resistance anyway. But that's also, you know, water resistance on a device, even though they don't say it, It's something you're supposed to find out after the fact. It's a cool fact. I mean, you think about it. The Nexus 6 also has wireless charging built into it. It supports Qi charging, different from the Samsung Galaxy S6, which supports both types of wireless charging. It's also capable of shooting in 4K. If you are a 4K individual, I personally am not. I'm still stuck on 1080 because that's what video editing still operates on. But those that do have 4K capabilities in their either residence or other things, this is also something that works in your favor. The turbo charging function, which is something that I've used on occasion. I don't use it regularly. I still plug it into my 2-amp every night to charge it. But there is a turbo charge function where you can get – I've gotten a full charge using the quick charge, okay? I usually don't plug my phone in until it's under 15%. And I have gone from less than 15% to a full battery in less than an hour. And that's something that's interesting. I wouldn't necessarily advocate or suggest using the quick charger all the time. But in a situation like you forget to charge your phone in the night before, it's definitely something that could work in your advantage. And, it has variable charging speeds built into it based on what your battery is currently set at and just various things of that nature. So quick charging is definitely something that works. And this quick charger also works on other devices. So that you know, I've used it to charge up other things in the household. I would be careful doing that because the quicker the electricity is moving in and out of a device, you have to be careful because the simple fact is you can start getting overheating issues. And so you want to be a little bit more careful with stuff like that. But, you know, things of that nature, moving on, you know, the Nexus 6, despite what everybody says about the size, I'm using it. I'm enjoying it. It has almost replaced my Nexus 7 in its entirety. I mean, I'm using it to keep track of my notes. It's big enough. There's enough screen real estate. I don't think it's, after spending a little bit of time with it, a couple months, I don't think it's a type of thing where it's too big to use as an actual phone. Still trying to use my Nexus 7 as a phone, I think that's a little big. But I think the 5.9 form factor, once you get a little adjusted to it, I think that'll work perfectly fine. And this year is still going to be an interesting look for the simple fact that we don't know what the next step's going to be. Is the next step going to be 6.5? And I'm going to have to look at anything over 6 and say, I don't think so. Okay? I think 5.9, that's the max for me. I've tried to use my Nexus 6 as a phone multiple occasions, and it just doesn't work. As a Google Voice user, I can do that easily and get away with it very easily, but it just still, it's a little awkward. I can't imagine putting that thing on my hip. It hardly fits in my pocket to start with. So, you know, the Nexus 6 having big hands, things of that nature, it works for me, and I appreciate that. Having handled the iPhone 6, that's also a good form factor. Lots of screen real estate, lots of different things you can do with it. I'm interested to see what the 5.1 update comes down with. I'm interested to see what Android 5.1 is going to give us in actuality. There's a lot of people giving, you know, leaks and speculations and, you know, well, we got it to do this and we got it to do that. Like I said, folks, I'm trying to keep my Nexus 6 stock and I'm trying to keep it as simple as possible. Now, my time's getting ready to run out, but I do have another special episode coming up here very shortly. Mr. Old School is going to be joining me for episode 102, and he and I are going to break down the fundamental beauty of cord cutting. And if you don't know what cord cutting is, tune in to episode 102, because we are going to give you the here, the now, and the what for to get it done officially. I've been a cord cutter for about 5 years now. Mr. Old School, I know he's been a cord cutter for a very long time. And I'm really excited to see what the two of us are going to be able to bring to the table to share the knowledge. Now, some people think, oh, cord cutting, that's a home thing, right? Not necessarily, folks. Cord cutting incorporates mobile, too. and this is Trending Mobile Technology, where things are constantly moving and they're constantly on the go. So tune in to episode 102. Week after that, episode 103, I've got Only One Mart and Obi-Wan Jabroni joining me. My neighbors from across the pond, they're going to be breaking down some knowledge with me as well. Now, this show, just like many other shows, you can find on TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. And my rule of thumb has been always check in every day because you never know what's going to be trending next. I constantly say it. We're the home of the hashtag. Check us out, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. We have the domain. It's ours. It's our website. We've got lots of stuff from professional wrestling to trending topics, topics that affect women, topics that affect men, to box office. You know, you name it. We've got it. We've got a lot of stuff, and we're constantly adding new stuff to our network. So just check in every day, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. It's the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, where you never know what is going to be trending next. From all of us to all of you on the mobile scene, I am Piper the DJ, taking a bite out of the mobile space. Good night.